efforts to help the poor always helpful, or could they sometimes do more harm than good? Hi, I'm Rob West. Today we'll explore how short-term missions can genuinely reflect the heart of Christ and bring lasting change without unintentionally hurting the very people we aim to serve. Dr. Brian Ficker joins us for that conversation. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a joy to welcome Dr. Brian Fickert back to the program. He's the founder and president of the Chalmers Center for Economic Development and co-author of Helping Without Hurting in Short-Term Missions. With a PhD in economics, Brian brings a unique and thoughtful perspective on how we can truly help those in need. And Brian, it's great to have you back with us.
It's so great to be with you again, Rob.
Brian, this is your second book built around the theme of helping without hurting, and this one specifically focuses on short-term missions. It's designed as a group study, both with leader and participant guides, to help churches prepare well for mission trips, and that's especially timely as many churches are gearing up for short-term missions this summer. In fact, I've actually got kids on a mission trip right now in the Dominican Republic, so this is particularly interesting to me. And it's exciting to think about how this resource can really shape those experiences for the better. I want to dive into that. So let's start with some of the common misconceptions about short-term missions and why it's so important to rethink what these trips are really about.
Yeah. Well, our book, Helping Without Hurting in Short-Term Missions, is really focused on mission trips to poor communities or poor countries. Yes. And so some of the things we're saying wouldn't apply more broadly. But, you know, the issue we're trying to get at is actually the same issue that we begin the book When Helping Hurts with. And that's this question, what is poverty? Hmm. Americans tend to define poverty as a lack of food, a lack of clothing, a lack of shelter. We tend to define poverty as a lack of some material resource. Yeah. And as a result, the way that we go about trying to help the poor is to provide them with more material resources. And that shows yes. up in a big way in a lot of our short-term trips. You know, the kind of the image we have of a team of people, you know, going to another country and going to a poor community, handing out food or clothing or shoes, really flows out of that material understanding of poverty. But when you ask poor people around the world, what is poverty? They'll say something like this: I feel shame. I feel less than human. I feel like I lack dignity and capacity. I can't seem to affect positive change in my life. And the materially poor tend to define their poverty in more psychological, social, and even spiritual terms. And so that disconnect between our understanding and the way that they're experiencing it is really at the heart of the problem. And so I believe we want to take a more relational approach to the nature of poverty, no matter how we're the context we're working in. And then we should apply that to the issue of short-term missions. How can short-term trips actually foster people living in healthy relationship with God, self, others, and creation?
Brian, that is so helpful. Perhaps we can unpack this a bit more by looking at where this goes wrong. In what ways can a well-intentioned mission trip actually do more harm than good?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when we think about the human being as a relational creature, again, wired for relationship with God, self, others, and the rest of creation, each and every one of us is struggling with broken relationships. It just bubbles up in different ways. And so let's just take that relationship with self.
Yeah.
Those of us who have material resources have a broken relationship with ourselves. We tend to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We tend to think of ourselves in prideful terms. We tend to think that we kind of have the answers and that we've been uniquely anointed by God to bring our wisdom right. and our culture right. to the rest of the world to save them.
Sure.
Well, you know, Western civilization isn't doing that great right now. And so we might want to have a little more of a pause before we get too sure of ourselves. Well, when we're working with people who are materially poor, their broken relationship with self tends towards the inverse of our problem. They tend to think of themselves as inferior, as lacking. And so when those of us who have a sense of pride or superiority interact with those who are having a sense of inferiority, it's a bad mix. We tend to exacerbate the inferiority they're already experiencing.
Oh, that is so good. And I can see why this resource would be so helpful for churches planning short-term mission trips this summer. We're talking with Brian Ficker. He's co-author of Helping Without Hurting in Short-Term Missions. Much more just after this break. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Most of what we know about the life of Jesus happens at the beginning of his life or in his final 3 years of ministry, but there were 3 decades in between. And the only story we have from that span of time is in Luke 2. Jesus was 12. He had traveled to Jerusalem with his family for Passover. They had returned home thinking Jesus was with them. But he wasn't. And it took them 3 days to find him in the temple courts. There he was, listening to the teachers and asking questions. Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" So what about you and me? Do our hearts yearn for God like that? Do we long to be close to him? Anchor Devotional is a tool to help you spend time in God's Word daily. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Are you gearing up for a short-term mission trip, or perhaps you're a part of a church who sends mission trips on a short-term basis all over the world? Well, I've got a resource for you. I'm joined today by Brian Fickert. He's founder and president of the Chalmers Center for Economic Development, and he's co-author of Helping Without Hurting in Short-Term Missions. And we're talking about how we can understand really what's going on in a poverty situation, whether that's in our culture or another. And how that can help inform a short-term mission trip that actually doesn't do more harm than good. And Brian, you were sharing before the break about this idea of really just being present rather than bringing the answers or even necessarily a project that we can complete. Why is being present often more valuable?
Well, you know, if poverty is rooted in broken relationships, then the solution to poverty is actually restoring people to right relationship. And the way that happens is through deep community. Yeah. God has established the local church as his embodiment in the world. And that local church is to foster a community that's for wholeness, that's for flourishing, that restores people to the dignity and worth and capacity that we have as image bearers of God Almighty. And so the whole thing in Scripture, the vision in Scripture is about community in the new creation. And the way to get there is through deep community. And so that's the approach you ought to be taking. Now, as I say that, I think it's really important for us to remember that the primary instrument that God has placed in a low-income community is not us. It's the local church or local ministry that's already there. They're the ones that are going to be there over the long haul. They're the ones that have the opportunity to develop deep community, deep relationships with people who are in poverty. And we can't do that on a short-term trip. We can't develop deep relationship, deep community in the context of a week-long trip. And so I think our job is to actually step back a bit and say, how can we, as outsiders, how can we support the local church or ministry that's already there? What can we do to elevate them? What can we do to make them look good, so to speak, in the eyes of the local community? And that means that we have more of a backstage role. It's not so much running around and building things and handing out things. It's more of a how can we stay behind the scenes a bit more and love on the church or ministry that's already there? How can we encourage them? How can we pray for them? How can we listen to their stories? How can we support them once we return back home? And so it might be babysitting the kids of the director so that he and his wife can go out on a date. It's a backstage role, not a front stage role.
That's so good. Brian, let's talk about just understanding the unique cultures that we're dropping into. I mentioned before the break that I've got three of my four are in the Dominican Republic right now, and they spent weeks with the church team and the other students, really just understanding the culture of where they were going to be in the DR. And why is that so important?
You know, so often the gospel has gotten mixed up with American culture and civilization. And sometimes we think we're exporting the gospel and we're really exporting America. And so it's really important to value the good things that are in a local culture. You know, Colossians chapter 1 teaches that Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer and reconciler of all things in heaven and on earth. That means that he is actually holding all things together. And so when we walk into a poor community, there's a sense in which we ought to take our shoes off. We're on holy ground. Christ has been actively engaging and sustaining this community long before we ever got there. And so we can look for the goodness that's there. Sure, there's brokenness everywhere. We can see that. But there's also good. And we want to fan the flames of the good. We want to recognize Christ's work. We want to recognize the goodness in the local culture. Because, again, part of the issue is that people have a sense of inferiority, a sense of shame. And so when we celebrate the good things in their culture, we're saying to them, hey, God has made you an image bearer, too. Look at the things you've created. Look at the things you've done. And so just asking the question about what's good here is part of the healing process. It's part of restoring people to the dignity and worth and capacity they have as image bearers of God Almighty. The question, just the question of what's good here, is poverty alleviation.
Hmm. Well, we mentioned this resource can be really helpful when local churches use it alongside their short-term sending activities. And Brian, I'd love to know your thoughts just on how the sending church can really help achieve long-term mission success.
Yeah, how can the sending church really achieve long-term mission success? It really has to do with, again, understanding the relational nature of poverty. And understanding that the institution that's primarily capable of developing the long-term relationships are the local church or local ministry in the community in the majority world of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. So success for the U.S. church is to be a good partner. It means to come alongside and support and encourage the work that's already going on there. It means letting that local ministry, leadership and staff to let their hair down, to be themselves, to be transparent, to not have to kind of put on a dog and pony show to convince us that they're doing great things. It's being a friend who walks together through thick and thin, through good days and bad days. It's just being a friend over long periods of time. Yeah. That's the thing.
Brian, this is, of course, a show about how we can steward God's financial resources in a way that brings him glory. And often these trips involve fundraising. How can that in and of itself be an experience between us and the Lord as we seek to raise funds?
Well, that's a really great question. You know, when I talk to people who are going on short-term trips, and I particularly young people, I'm a professor at Covenant College. When I talk to young people and I say to them, go as a learner, go to listen and to learn, suddenly the young person will go, well, I can't raise money for that. They want me to go and do something.
Yeah.
Well, that's at the heart of the problem, right? And so the financial supporter is often expecting some kind of tangible accomplishment, and it puts a lot of pressure on the young person to go and produce something, and that does a lot of harm. And so I'm often saying to that young person, go as a learner and communicate to your financial supporters that you're going as a learner. Yeah. And oftentimes what happens is the young person says, I don't feel right about raising money to go for my personal educational experience. And I don't agree with that. I actually think that it's worth it. It's worth investing in young people to go. There can be a really high return if the trip is embedded in a longer term learning process. But we need to be clear as to what we're doing, what the purpose is, so that we can steward God's resources well. It is my view that too much money is being spent on short-term trips, that we could probably steward our resources in other ways. But I do believe there is a role for such trips when done well.
Well, I think you've made that case today, and I'm excited for more churches to pick up a copy of this to help shape their short-term missions to have a lasting impact both here and in the host countries. Brian, we always appreciate our time with you. Thanks for stopping by.
It's always a joy to be with you folks.
That's Dr. Brian Fickert, co-author of Helping Without Hurting and Short-Term Missions. You can learn more about his work at chalmers.org. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. I'm sure there's some things going on in your financial life that you'd love to talk about today. I know I always have questions I'm wrestling with, and it's always helpful to have somebody to bounce those ideas off of. Well, here's our promise to you. We're going to be encouraging and empathetic. We're going to be hopeful. We're going to be biblical, because we're going to go into God's Word and look for principles and themes and ideas that we can pull out. But we're also going to be wise and practical, helping you solve for those very specific things that you're wrestling with in your financial life. So if you have a question today, this is your hour. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take as many calls as we can. We've got lines open, and so go ahead and call right now and get in the mix. The number, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we dive into those phone calls today, let's see what's happening in the news. Well, the IRS has announced updated contribution limits for health savings accounts, what are known as HSAs, for 2026. Individuals with self-only coverage can contribute up to $4,400. That's up from $4,300 this year, 2025, while those with family coverage can now save $8,750. That's up from $8,550, so $200 higher. To qualify, you, of course, have to have that high deductible health plan with minimum deductibles of $1,700 for an individual or $3,400 for a family, and annual out-of-pocket limits no greater than $8,500 or $17,000, respectively. The HSA, if you're not familiar with it, offers what we call the triple tax advantage. So you get the contribution on the you get the tax deduction on the contribution. That's advantage number one. Then you get tax-free growth on that money, so you can actually invest it and allow it to grow tax-free. And then the withdrawals for qualified medical expenses are also tax-free. So three advantages. Now, unlike FSAs, the flexible savings accounts, unused HSA funds roll over annually and remain with you even if you change jobs or retire. These features make HSAs a powerful tool for retirement healthcare planning, especially considering that a 65-year-old today may spend an average of $165,000 on medical costs during retirement. That's not annual, of course. And that doesn't include long-term care. Now, though most employers offer HSA investment options, only about 18% of participants invest their balances. Financial advisors recommend investing HSA funds to maximize long-term growth and prepare for future medical needs. That's, of course, how you take advantage of those, the triple advantage. Again, contributions going in, tax deduction. Growth on the money when it's invested, tax-free. Withdrawals, also tax-free when it comes out. Just a huge advantage there. I don't want you to miss that. Contributions for the 2026 tax year can be made up to April 2027. So I know this is a little ahead of the game, but just for your planning purposes, this is what's coming. Now, I will say just a kind of a personal note on this. We use the HSA here at Kingdom Advisors and Faith 5 for our team. And we actually see enough savings in the premiums that we're able to contribute up to almost that full deduction just as a contribution for our employees. And so they get kind of the double win there. We're saving money. We're also helping them shoulder that out-of-pocket cost up to that high deductible by making direct contributions for them. And then if they're relatively healthy and they can maximize their contributions on their end, which again gives them a deduction, that's money that could be invested. And that's really where an HSA shines. If you're relatively healthy and you can max it out and not use it all and just let it grow, having that alongside your other retirement accounts in retirement is a huge benefit because, again, you can pull that money out tax-free for those qualified medical expenses. So if this is a new idea, take a look at the health savings account. It can be a really powerful tool. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with any financial question, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Jose, how can I serve you?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thank you for all you do, sir.
Thank you.
My question is, I was listening to the news last night, and they were talking about some difficulties some families are having with through probate because they didn't have a will. So my question actually is, what's the difference between a will, an irrevocable trust, and a revocable trust, and what are the tax benefits to that?
Yeah, got it. So basically, I mean, the breakdown is this. A will is a legal document that specifies how your assets are distributed at your death, and you name an executor to carry it out. Generally, it costs between $200 and $500, and there are some do-it-yourself options, although I would recommend you use an attorney. You will have court costs, what's called probate, and that can run somewhere between 3 to 7% of the estate value. So for a $100,000 estate, it can run, you know, $3,000 to $7,000, and it can take, you know, as much as 6 to 12 months. Now, if it's a fairly simple estate, you know, it may not take that long, but the assets pass directly to the heirs, but the probate is public and it can be contested. There really are no tax advantages to a will, but keep in mind where estate taxes are right now federally, you know, they don't kick in until you get an estate above $13 million. So for most people, that's not even an issue. So that's the will. Now, let's talk about the revocable trust. A trust you create and control during your lifetime, and it holds your assets in it, like real estate or investments. Because it's revocable, we'll get to the irrevocable in a minute. With the revocable trust, you can modify it or revoke it at any time. And then after death, assets transfer to beneficiaries outside of probate. So there's no probate court involved. The financial aspects are it's more expensive. It can run you $2,000 to $3,000 on average with an attorney. But again, it avoids probate. It saves the probate court costs, and it speeds up distributions. It also allows the trustee to manage those assets if you're incapacitated prior to death or beyond your life, if you want to let that money be distributed over time. Let's do this. I've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish this question up. Stay right there.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR. Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. You have financial questions? We've got answers. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Jose's calling from Texas before the break. He's asking about the differences and the tax benefits of the will versus the revocable and the irrevocable trust. And Jose, I was sharing that a will basically handles the distribution of your assets, really no direct tax savings, although most people don't have federal estate taxes, at least based on the current law and IRS regs, because you have to get over $13 million before you have any federal estate taxes. Revocable trust allows you to control your assets during your lifetime and beyond. You have to retitle your assets in the name of the trust, more expensive to set up, but you don't have the probate costs and you avoid probate after death. Also, you can have the trustee manage the assets if you're incapacitated, or let's say you wanted to give those assets out over time beyond your life because you had minor kids. You want to wait till, you know, they graduate from college or get married or, you know, certain triggering events. A trust would allow you to do that. There's also no direct tax breaks. So, you know, assets remain in your taxable estate. But again, to my point earlier, with the way it's set up now, having to be over $13.6 million, usually not an issue. The main difference with the irrevocable trust is that you can't modify it or revoke it once it's created. The assets are legally owned by the trust, not you, and managed by the trustee for the beneficiaries. That gets it out of your estate, which could offer significant tax benefits because it's removed from your taxable estate. You no longer own it. But again, that may not be an issue, and it isn't for most people. And so giving up that flexibility of being able to change it, is something you need to make sure that, you know, that's worth it. Because, again, most people don't need that. Is that helpful, though?
Yes, thank you so much. And I appreciate all you do for us.
All right. Thanks, Jose. Call anytime, sir. God bless you. Let's stay in Texas and talk to Liz. Liz, how can we help?
Hi, good morning, Rob. My husband and I have a inherited IRA that he received from his mom. And we've had it in the last 5 years in an annuity, and that has just matured. And what is the best way to go from here?
Yeah, it's a good question. How does this inherited IRA fit in, Liz, to your overall financial plan, just in terms of the other assets that you have? I mean, do you feel like you're on track in saving for retirement apart from this, or is this a key piece of that?
It is a big part of our
retirement plan.
We're both in our late 60s.
Okay. All right. Very good.
We're both still working full time right now, but this is like a big part of our goals.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So because you're no longer going to have or likely not have any surrender charges, you have flexibilities there. Are you under the, post 2020 Secure Act where you've got to have this money completely distributed from the IRA, inherited IRA within 10 years?
We got this in 2020. I'm not sure what month. I can't remember what month.
Okay, got it. So you're going to want to check on that for the new rules on the 10 years go into effect, just because you don't want to miss that. If you need to deplete it in 10 years, that's going to factor into this. But the Secure Act that was passed in December of 2019 went into effect January 1st of 2020. Introduce that 10-year rule for IRAs. So for most non-spouse beneficiaries, and that's what this was, if the original IRA owner died on or after January 1st, 2020, you have to withdraw the entire inherited IRA by December 31st of the 10th year following their death. So if that's the case here, then you're going to need to get it out of there anyway. So we'll need to look at options. But how long ago was that? So that was, it's been 5 years. Is that right?
Well, she passed away in August of 2019.
Oh, okay.
So this was distributed in 2020 though.
Okay. But her passing was in 2019. So she would be prior to that. Because it didn't go into effect until January 1st of 2020. So it probably allows you to do what's called a stretch IRA. You're going to want to check with your CPA on this, but that allows you to take distributions over your life expectancy. So you'll want to talk to the custodian of this IRA contract to review the distribution methods, and you could, annuitize this and start taking an income. You could also look at rolling this out and just having it invested. I think a lot of that is just going to come down to how much risk do you want to take. Keep in mind, even in your late 60s, with you all continuing to work and, this money ultimately being a big part of your retirement plan, you still have arguably a 30-year time horizon. I mean, if you live well into your 90s, you need this money to last a long time. So we can still take a long-term perspective on the investments. That doesn't mean we throw a caution to the wind and we get too aggressive, but it does mean, I think, that you could look at the option to, invest it with a portion allocated to stocks. I mean, I'd put it as much as 40%, even at age 70, in stocks, maybe with 60% in fixed income, and maybe a small part of that's in gold or precious metal, something like that. But the idea would be that it's growing, it's still fairly stable, but it has a growth component to it. And then, when you all need that, or you begin to take an income off of it because you're no longer working, you've got the ability to offset maybe a 4% withdrawal rate per year where you're never depleting any of the principal. So I think your next step is to confirm kind of what that the withdrawal rate needs to be to comply with the IRS, to make sure you're getting out what you need to get out in whatever time period is required. And then secondly, do you want to roll it over to another annuity, which is going to transfer the risk to the insurance company and away from the stock market, but you're going to settle for lower returns with some complexity where you don't have as much access to the money? Or do you want to hire an advisor and maybe roll the inherited IRA out of the annuity company over to an advisor that could manage it and, you know, address the risk component by, you know, using more conservative investments like bonds. But the upside is you could get a little more growth on it, and you'd have access to the money if you guys ever needed it, whereas, you know, you don't have some of those lockups or penalties with the annuity products. Does that make sense, though?
Okay, very good. Yes, sir, very good. I appreciate that. It's just when you're not used to having an inheritance like that, and then you do have it, you want to manage it well.
Yeah, so. I totally get it. If you need an advisor, do you have an advisor you could, other than the annuity salesperson?
No, I was looking for one through FaithFi in our area here in Katy, okay. Texas.
Yeah, so. Cool. So you could just head to faithfi.com, click find a professional. I'd interview probably at least two CKAs, find the one that's the best fit, but I think that could be a great next step for you. And again, I'm not saying you can't continue to use annuities if you're most comfortable with that, but I'd at least explore your options, you know, moving forward. But if we can help you, Liz, in any way along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks for being on the program today. All right, another break, and then back with our final segment. If you have a question, call 800-525-7000.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and manage God's money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. Before we head right back to the phones, and we will get to as many questions as we can this segment, so if you have a financial question, call right now, 800-525-7000. We just got our first delivery of Faithful Steward Issue 2 today. Boy, I'm so excited to put it in your hands. It is chock full of some incredible content that I think is just going to be a real treat for you in your financial life. Where is true wisdom found? Is it okay to leave different amounts to my kids, from Ron Blue? What if you're the non-financial spouse? You're not money-minded. Do you get left behind? Well, Shanti Feldhahn has an article talking to both spouses about how we keep the non-financial spouse in the mix with regard to the money conversation, crafting a faithful legacy for future generations with an intentional inheritance, how Christians should respond when someone owes them money, finding an uncommon retirement based on biblical wisdom. I mean, that's just half of the articles in this latest issue of Faithful Steward. If you'd like to receive a copy, the best way to do that is to become a FaithFi partner. That means you'll get 4 issues of Faithful Steward every year, and you'll get pre-release copies of our studies and devotionals. And our next study is dropping this month, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from the Book of Ecclesiastes. So it's a great time to become a FaithFi partner. It will help support this listener-supported ministry, help us reach more people. It's a win-win-win. So just head to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page. faithfi.com and click give. If you're a monthly supporter at $35 or more per month or $400 a year, you become a partner and you get all of that. Plus, we did just add for partners, you get pro access to the FaithFi app, which means you can connect up all of your checking and debit card accounts and your credit cards. You can use the digital envelope system, automatically download your transactions securely. That pro subscription rolls into the partner program as of this month as well. So just head to FaithFi and click .com and click give. All right, back to the phones. We're going to get to as many calls as we can. Russ is in Wyoming waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob, I've got my daughter with me here, and she's a sophomore in college looking to get her first credit card ever. Give me advice on is there companies better than others? She really would like to get the points and benefits of a credit card, but I don't know about the big liberal companies and so forth. Do you have any kind of input for her, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, I'll give you my recommendations here as to kind of what you want to look for. As to just the corporate practices of each of these, it's a good question, and I wouldn't be able to give you kind of a screened answer for what are they doing with their corporate profits and, does it align with your values? It's a great question. We just don't have access to that at the ready for each of these companies. But, the top three student credit cards right now come from either Discover, Capital One, or Bank of America. So Capital One probably has the most, the best one right now. It's the Capital One Saver, S-A-V-O-R, as in like savor your dinner, Saver Student Cash Rewards Credit Card. So there's no annual fee, which is a big key for me. No foreign transaction fees. So if she's going on a mission trip or something, that's helpful. And it really is designed for students with limited credit. It offers some great cash back. So, 5% on hotels and rental cars and 3% on dining and entertainment and streaming services and groceries, the kinds of things that students buy. And, the key is to make sure, and I suspect with you asking this question, you've done this, but this is a good time to kind of reinforce this. This is only to be used for budgeted items and paid off in full at the end of the month. This will have a high annual percentage rate on it. But again, the first month that it's not paid off, it really needs to go away just because, that's not the reason to use it. Now, the upside is it's going to create some convenience. She'll get some cash back and she'll start building her credit score. So when she's ready to get that first apartment or, someday buy a house, maybe qualify for a car loan down the road, now all of a sudden her credit score is good. So I think the key is even if she were to just to put, a small budgeted recurring charge on it, like a streaming service that she was already, planning to pay for and in the budget, and then she pays it off in full, that's great. But again, the last thing we want to do is rack up any kind of debt. The second kind of the Saver card is the first. The second would be the Discover It student cashback card from Discover. And no credit score needed, strong rewards, no annual fee. Again, those are probably the keys in terms of what you would want to look for. In terms of screening those companies, you could do some digging online just to see if there's anything on Discover or Capital One that doesn't align with your values. But those would be the top two.
That is perfect. She just took tons of notes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, I want to send you, actually her, a gift. There's a study that was put out by some of our friends called Open Hands Finance. And basically, when they were right out of Taylor University as graduates, they wrote this for college students, basically to help them understand it, with a podcast each week and then a workbook. How do you build your first kind of financial plan? And how do you integrate kind of biblical principles into that? I think she'll love it. It'll actually help her put a mock budget together and kind of understand some of the dangers of debt and the importance of generosity. So I'm going to send you this workbook, and I think she will have a lot of fun kind of working her way through it, okay?
That is great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate
Absolutely,
that.
Russ. You stay on the line. We'll get your information and get Open Hands Finance right in the mail to you. And you tell her if she needs anything along the way or has questions, give us a call. God bless you, bud. Let's see. Texas is where we're going next. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yes. If all of my assets, I'm 87 years old. If all of my assets have beneficiaries designated, is there any reason to have probate, or is there a maximum dollar amount that requires probate so I would have to get a trust?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, anything that has a beneficiary is going to pass outside of your estate directly to the named beneficiary. So that really is kind of now been removed from your estate. So the will is going to cover everything else, because there are going to be other things that you're going to want to, you know, make sure you have covered at your passing. So think bank accounts. Well, that could have a beneficiary on it, but, you know, any kind of personal, you know, property or furniture or jewelry, things like that, that's where the will is going to be helpful. If that's all that's in there, because most of your accounts have named beneficiaries, and, you know, if you have a home with a transfer on death deed, which is like a beneficiary for a piece of property, then, you know, I think a simple will cover you and just make sure that you've decided in advance, you know, what those, where those other personal assets are going to go that don't have the ability to have named beneficiaries. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So there is no certain amount of the estate that requires a probate in dollar value.
No, there's not. I mean, you know, it's always going to involve probate, but, you know, in terms of the cost, you know, it's going to be very minimal. And, you know, typically, you know, it could just, you know, fly right through. It depends on the state. I mean, smaller estates, you know, can avoid full probate, where there would be, you know, and again, it's going to come down to the state that you're in. And I'm not sure about Texas specifically. But if it's on the smaller side and it's below the state's small estate limit, then, you know, you could use just a simple estate affidavit to settle it pretty quickly, and not have the time and the expense of the court costs. So I would just check, you know, for the state of Texas and see what that is and see if you're under that threshold.
So if it was like $1.5 million, you think that probably would require probate?
I do. Yeah. So a small estate is typically, again, depending on the state, going to be somewhere between, you know, $50,000 and $200,000.
Wow.
I think
okay.
In Texas, it's less than $75,000, you know, that before it doesn't go through probate. So, you know, I think what you could do is, again, if you've got the beneficiary designations, those pass outside of the estate. So then it would just be the other assets that remain.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would still, the value of the home would be a trigger because it would be about $400,000.
Yeah, so then it definitely would. Now on that, you could put, and I'm not sure if Texas allows this, you'd need to check, but you could do a TOD deed, transfer on death deed, you know, such a, you know, that would allow your house to pass directly to named beneficiaries if the state of Texas allows that.
So then the option to be out of probate would be a trust.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, remember, those assets that are, you know, have the beneficiary don't count toward the estate's value for probate purposes. But to your point, if your home was in it, that would automatically trigger it and it would need to go through probate. So then, yes, your options would be if the TOD deed is available in Texas, you could do that. And that would pull that out, and maybe that would allow you to get below that small estate threshold. The other option is a revocable trust, which is going to cost you, you know, somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000, and then that could pass out of probate as well.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Thank you.
All right, David. God bless you, my friend. Appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. So thankful to have you along with us here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. our heart that you would understand your opportunity and mine as well to be faithful stewards. Everything belongs to God. He entrusts it to us. We're to be his household managers. Our goal, manage it faithfully over our lifetime. Give it generously. Save it appropriately. Spend it wisely. We want to help you do that each day. So come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Big thanks to my team today. Taylor Standridge, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.